Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of My Naked Mindset. I'm your host, Janae Ledger. Thank you so much for being here today. This is episode number 90. I am so excited for you all to hear this amazing episode, and also Happy New Year, because we are ringing in 2023. Woo! So enjoy this episode. I hope you guys love it.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I have a very special guest today. She's a dog trainer and behavior coach who helps people and dogs understand each other and work better together in difficult situations. Everyone, please welcome Sage to the show.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. I've been listening to some of your podcast episodes, and I'm so excited to talk about all things dogs.
Oh, I'm so excited too. I've been looking forward to this for so long, and I've always wanted to do a dog episode. And when we connected, I thought, oh my gosh, this is the perfect person for this episode. So thank you so much for being here today. I'm very excited.
Absolutely. I'm really excited. I sort of felt the same way I started listening to your episodes, and I was like, this person, she gets it. I think your listeners are going to get it too.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're really excited over here, and we definitely got some good topics for everyone. And yeah, I want to get right into it. So first, I always have been loving to ask people, what are you most excited about that's coming up in your life?
Ooh, okay. This is such a great question, because I am the kind of person who gets really excited about things a lot.
Me too.
So I'm kind of a nerd, and I've been really thinking a lot about why it can be really hard for people to do positive only training with their dogs. And I think it's so hard because we live in a society in the United States that is, well, globally too, but particularly in the United States, that is really reliant on punishment. So like our whole legal system is based around punishment, and our sort of social capital system is based around punishment. And so we think that that's sort of the way to change behavior. And what we know from kind of a lot of years of scientific research is that's not actually a super effective way to change behavior. And it becomes really difficult to separate ourselves from the system that we're living in and then go and train our dogs with this totally other system, because it's something we don't know, and we don't know how it works. And so I've been really, that's been just like captivating my attention right now, is like thinking about how we can be more kind and more positive in the way we interact with the people around us, even in this system that is pretty punishment heavy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. And I always say, especially around this time of year, like people are going through whatever they're going through on top of the holidays. If they're alone, or maybe they have really stressful financial situations, like people, especially now, but I think always are going, you never know what someone's going through. And just walking through a store, like I always try to, like, if someone like looks at me, I always try to like give a nice smile, like even if it's a little smile, like just be kind to everyone. I preach this all the time, but I just think it's so underrated to really just like be kind to people. And it's something that is so important to me too. So I love that. And it's nice to hear other people like really yeah. thinking about those types of things. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
I
love that, that being kind to people, and just, you don't know what people are going through. And that's really true of like everyone we interact with, whether that's our dogs or the people right. that are, you know, you just line up at the red light with them in the car next to you.
And right.
their gas, and you're like, hey, that was kind of a jerk move, but
right.
maybe they're rushing somewhere because something terrible just happened. You know, you just gotta extend that, this idea that everyone is doing the best they can with what they have in the moment.
Yes, preach it. I love that. So how did you get into dog training?
Well, so I have a little bit of an untraditional path. I grew up on a farm. My parents are both veterinarians, so I've been involved in animals and behavior kind of my whole life. We had a lot of foster dogs and rescues growing up, and I've always loved teaching as well. So we had a pony. I would teach my sister how to ride the pony, and I taught the neighborhood kids how to ride the pony. And I didn't really ever want to be a vet because I saw how hard that was for my parents. And so I took this little side route and I went into music, and I ended up teaching music for a long time. And then I felt like I wasn't really helping people the way I wanted to. One of my core values, which is probably not surprising given what is on my mind lately, is I think that it's really important to do what we can to make people's lives better. And I had a little bit of medical trauma, and that was, so I ended up going into medical ethics because I thought that I was really going to help people through medical ethics. Fascinating subject. I learned so much. I worked, I got my master's in medical ethics, and then I worked for a couple years in academic bioethics. I loved the rigor and the subject, but I just didn't feel like I was helping people the way I wanted to be helping people. And so I came back to my roots. I had a kind of a deep conversation with myself about, like, what do I want to do to help people? Mm. And at the same time, I had a couple of friends who were struggling with dogs that had behavior problems, and I was able to help them. And I saw the difference that that made, and I knew the difference it had made in my life growing up. And so I was like, let's give this a whirl. And I've never looked back. It's amazing. I get to see that change in people's lives every day.
That's incredible. So do you do a lot of, like, one-on-ones, or do you do group, like, trainings, or how does that
type of thing? So I do mostly one-on-ones, but I do sort of a blended program that's partially online and partially in person. Mm-hmm. So, and I can actually do completely online coaching as well, because really I'm not there to train your dog, because I'm not going to move in with you. I'm not going to be there when there's the problem in the future, right? And so my work is really teaching the human side of that relationship how to help their dog through these difficult situations, teaching the human how to address the things that their dog needs that maybe they didn't know about. And so really my side of the work is really helping the person in that relationship with the dog, or if there's a multi-person family, you know, that's where I come in. And so I do mostly individual things, although my clients have also group calls with me, and I bring in experts and things like that.
Oh, that's very cool. So we trained my dog. We went to a place in town, and it was really, really, like, just like the amount of things that we learned through it, like, it was incredible. And my dog did get the canine good citizenship award thing, which was so fun. So I definitely think training was a necessity, and also I think it helped so much, just really getting to know, like, our dog, and just, like, and then of course, like, training her. And I feel like when we first got her, she was just a little baby, so it was like, it was almost like really growing and, like, nurturing her into her, like, little 1-year-old self now. So such a journey.
I love that, because, you know, people get dogs and there's this whole discovery process of, like, who is this creature going to become? Like, who is this individual that we just brought into our lives? And that is one of the most fulfilling, exciting journeys. I love that you had that experience. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was so, I highly recommend training, like, to any of, you know, my listeners, my friends, whomever, like, just pay the money, do it, because it will be worth it for both parties, I think, us and our dogs.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and just, like, also, I think, kind of going into that a little bit more, the, like, obviously through our relationship, because me and my fiance, you know, got, like, I originally wanted a Cavapoo for literally years, and I had moved during COVID. I had moved into a new apartment, like, by myself before I even met him, and they allowed dogs, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna get a dog. And then for whatever reason, it just kind of didn't pan out the way I wanted it to, and I was, like, really looking for a great breeder and, you know, the whole nine, whatever. And then it just so happened that I really followed, like, a bunch of Facebook groups And really found one that I really connected with. And the woman was just such a sweetheart, and her family like really just raised really great Cavapoos. And I don't know, I did a bunch of research.
Love to hear that. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a journey. Like it really was to try to find the right one, but I was like, you know, it's worth it. And so I actually I flew to Tennessee to buy her. I live in New Hampshire, which was such an experience, but just all of the whole process was definitely like a lot of work, like a lot of communication, and then, you know, figuring out what size carrier she needed to be in for the airplane, like the airline. And it was a lot. But again, I would do it a million times over because my dog is the best thing that ever happened to me. Like, truly. Every time I talk about her, I'm like, holy shit. Like, she really is just so amazing. And I feel like dogs really, and I know it's such a cliche, but they truly are part of your family. Like,
Oh, absolutely.
and I feel like I hear that all the time. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But now that I have a dog, I'm like, I truly understand that now, like to the utmost extent.
It's funny how, you can kind of believe it intellectually, but then once you have a dog
Right.
and you look into their eyes and you're just like,
Yeah.
this is my life now. This is
Right, right.
it.
100%. And so obviously when you have a new dog, like I know you've probably experienced this many times of just like adjusting and, you know, training the dog, the pee pads, then the vet, then all, I don't know, all the things. And I really think that it really brought me and my fiance closer because it's like you are really doing the work together, like taking turns doing things. And I think so much of that can really improve our relationships. And also, you know, you go through the struggles, but I think it really can bring you guys so much closer. And I think that's honestly so beautiful within itself.
Yeah, I love that perspective. It's, okay, I've never had a baby, and I
Me
know they're a
either.
lot of work.
Yep.
And you sort of put that in the context of I've raised a number of dogs, and dogs having a puppy, it's not probably as hard as having a baby. I'm sure certain that it's not as hard as having a baby, but it's still a lot of work. They're
It is.
such a baby. They need kind of constant attention. Like the first week we brought my puppy home, I think probably around the same time you brought your puppy home, we brought my puppy home in January of last year. He's just a year old now. And for the first couple weeks, he had to go outside every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
He just had to
Yep.
go outside every 15 minutes. And like, I don't necessarily get very much done in the 13 minutes between potty breaks, right?
Right.
And so, like, that is a huge commitment. And because, we were super lucky because I work from home and my partner works from home. And so, like, being able to do that allowed us to have this kind of relationship. But it's so difficult to put into perspective the effort and work and joy and everything that goes into bringing this new baby life into
Yeah.
your family.
It is. It's so rewarding too at the same time.
So
Like,
rewarding.
'cause when you see all the progress that they've made, like I think about when we first brought her home, actually it was December 4th.
Oh,
In a couple of days when we brought her
congrats.
home, our gotcha day, to now it's like, holy shit. Like it really has just been such a journey. And like I said about like affecting our relationships, like it really can bring you closer together. And kind of going into that a little bit more, I think I know you've experienced a few, how they can affect our relationships in, you know, positive ways, but also maybe more difficult ways. So I would love to hear a little bit more on your experiences with like some difficulties, within your
Yeah,
relationships.
absolutely. So, and this is, we talk about getting a dog because we want to get to know this creature and bring them into our life and bring them into all of our other relationships. So, you want your friends to meet the dog because you want to go to a hiking trip with your friends and you want to bring your dog and you want your friends to like your dog. And there's sort of that kind of social pressure. And like the same thing, especially if you have a dog and then you start dating. Like
Yes.
that is something that we don't really talk very much about in the dog training industry, and I think it's a shame because we have these huge feelings about our dogs, right? We love so much about our dogs, and our dogs have really big feelings about us, and then we want to bring this new person into our life if we're dating, or even if we're just casually seeing somebody, we need our dog to, like, have the right amount of involvement. Like, we want them to snuggle with us on the couch, but, like, if we're gonna have sex, we don't want them to be snuggling with us on the couch. And, like, setting their dogs up to understand where those boundaries are, and making sure our dogs are comfortable with that, which really isn't probably what you want to be thinking about when you're doing that. And so, 100%. Like, it's something that I have struggled with a little bit, like you talked about. So I, when I was in college, I had just a delightful dog who was, he is neurodivergent. He's still alive. He did not move to North Carolina with me. I was living in Oregon at the time, and he actually stayed in Oregon because he doesn't do well with change. He stayed in Oregon with my mom. He's living his best life now. But when I was in college, he lived with me in college, and he's a herding dog. He's like a cattle dog. He's really cute, black and brown and white, pointy ears, loved playing, loved training, would do anything for me. Also was terrified of men, terrified of anything on wheels, terrified of laundry, terrified of doors closing when he couldn't see the person who was closing them. Like, he had some quirks.
Okay.
And he actually, we took him to a veterinary behaviorist, and he was diagnosed with clinical OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which we were treating in him. And I was trying to deal with the fact that I love this dog, right? He is kind of my soul dog. And also, I was dating men at the time, and I couldn't necessarily have them come back to my place because he was upset about the doors closing, and he was upset about clothes flying through the air if that was going to happen. And he was upset about any sort of weird noises or movements that we were making. And that, it really made me think about, like sex is weird. It looks funny, right? Dogs have great senses of smell. It probably smells funny. Like, we're making weird sounds, all these things. Yeah. And my dog just didn't have the skills to cope with that. And so there was a time when he came very close to biting someone that I was in a casual relationship with at the time. And this was before I was ever doing professional dog training, but I was still really interested in behavior because, in part because of his particular quirks. And I had to take a real step back, and bless this person. He was doing he loved dogs. He was totally understanding. You know, he wasn't at all, like, he wasn't scared of my dog or anything, but he, we had to take a real look at whether or not our relationship was going to work. And I had to really take a look at whether or not I could see anyone at that time while my dog was living with me, because there was this safety concern. And so that's a really complicated set of feelings and experiences to put on your dog and your dating life. And just as dog trainers, I just don't think there's we can empathize. There's not enough empathy for our clients who are going through this really, really difficult situation. And I'm here to say that, like, you can fix this. You can help with training. You can address a lot of these things, and you can make this safe and comfortable. Like, you know, there's ways to make sure that our dogs are enhancing our relationships and not interfering with them.
Yes, I love that. Now, in that situation, if that were to happen, say today, what would you, like, recommend, you know, if someone is going through this, how do they approach, you know, fixing the behavior? You know, if someone's coming in and, you know, I have a new partner, or what the case may be, what can they do?
So the good news is there's lots and lots of different ways you could go about this. The bad news is there's not one size fits all, right? True. So that's the first thing you want to do is, like, make sure everyone is safe, right? And so this is kind of what you want to do anytime. And so if I was looking back on this now, I would probably, I would have a crate, and I would, my dog loved a crate. He was fine in a crate. And I would probably just, if I was going to have someone come over, I would just put him in a crate. I would put peanut butter in a Kong or peanut butter in a, you know, newspaper tube, for him to lick and chew. And I would throw a blanket over the crate, and then I would forget about it. Like, that's probably what I would do. And that's the easiest first step. If you live in a place where you can, like, baby gates, my best friend, you can buy baby gates and you can sort of gate off different rooms of the house. Makes life wonderful. Makes things so instant. Like, that's really the first and easiest thing. If you have a dog that is, like, really anxious in the crate or really worried about being separated from you, that's when it's probably time to, like, think more about the training and the behavior change that you want. And so there's some prevention pieces. If you have a puppy during that critical socialization window, so critical socialization in puppies developmentally is sort of between 6-ish weeks and 16-ish weeks. And so what this means is they are, if they have good experiences, those good experiences are easier to generalize. It also means that if they have bad experiences, those bad experiences are easier to generalize. So you want to make sure they're having really good experiences and that they're learning that lots of things are safe. And so if you have this puppy, putting them in a crate with some delicious, delicious chews and making sure that your any sort of romantic adventures you have are short and you can keep refilling the peanut butter tube, that's going to be amazing. That's going to pay so much in terms of prevention for later on. If you have an adult dog who's really worried about sex or dancing or strange people coming into the house, then you can start to think about, so we do a lot of station training. So you train your dog to go to a spot and that their job on that spot is to stay on that spot. And so that can be really helpful. You can muzzle train your dog, which I am a huge proponent of dogs learning to comfortably wear muzzles. It's not cruel. It's all it is just making sure that they can't hurt anyone if the training fails, right? Then you can do some desensitization, which desensitization is basically you present something that might be scary at a really, really low level. So like, say I really don't like mice. Spiders, fine. Snakes, fine. Mice, terrified of them. And so for me, desensitization would be like looking at a picture of a mouse. Right? So that's a pretty non-threatening thing. For your dog, if your dog doesn't like if your dog doesn't like the sounds that you make during sex, maybe you try a night of silent sex. Right? It could be kind of hot. And also, right? Like, that could be kind of fun. And also, it might help your dog get a little bit more comfortable, especially if your dog is also working on peanut butter in a Kong or something delicious that they can chew in the other room, or if there's some loud music playing so that they can't hear what's going on. So those are some directions that I might go. And if it's not resolving easily and if you're not making progress, really talking to a professional is the best way you can go, because the more this happens, the harder it is to change.
That is such good advice. I loved when you said like the putting in the crate and trying out these new things, and you're so right. Like, I assume just like babies, like you said, I don't have a child either, but it's like you're really just showing them like, okay, you know, this is okay. And you're kind of, I love the you know, showing them, you know, doing the sounds, or maybe you even like walk around the house like making sex sounds, and like, so they're kind of like, oh, okay, like this, mom's okay, like she's okay, everything's all right.
That is that's perfect. That's the perfect thing that you can do with that.
Yeah, I love that advice. It's genius. It makes sense. And I think I mean, I can totally relate. So when we first got Roxy, you know, we honestly didn't have sex for like a week, and then I was like, shit, like we can't have this dog just like ruin our sex life. And I think one of my questions is, now do your animals sleep in the bed with you, or do they have their own areas to sleep?
So they sleep in the bed with us. our dog doesn't, he gets hot, and so he like snuggles with us for like 2 minutes, and then he jumps off the bed and he sleeps on the floor, and then when he wakes up in the morning he comes up and snuggles again. Very cute. Very cute. So yeah, they sleep in the bed with us. When he was a puppy, when we were going through potty training, he did sleep in his crate most of the time, but I had that right next to the bed.
Yeah. So we crate trained Roxy, and it was actually pretty smooth sailing. But up until probably like October, me and my fiance slowly let her like have the bed with us, and then like it got to like a couple days a week, and then all of a sudden it was like every single day, and now I'm like, we're screwed. Like now I don't know if we can go back to the crate, which I put her in there once like a couple weeks ago, and she was losing her mind.
Oh, no.
So I guess I first want to know, like, is there any coming back from a situation like that?
Absolutely. Like, the wonderful thing about learning is that it is always happening, right? It's also the horrible thing about learning, right? So, like, I taught my dog something, and it was amazing and perfect. I taught my dog to recall to me, and it was just perfect for 1 week. And then one thing happened, and I forgot the right toy for him, and then he was like, well, maybe I don't care quite as much about coming back, right? So it'd be nice if I could just like freeze that in moment in time,
right.
The good news is you also can't freeze like the bad stuff in time. It's always changing, so you can absolutely recover from your little crate training mishap. Like that's not a big deal. Crate training is harder than people give it credit for, so it does take some effort, but there's no kind of beyond the point of no return for most behaviors.
Okay, that's good to know. But yeah, I can totally relate to the sex thing too, because it's like, you know, when you first get a pup, it's like, they're like, whoa, like you can't be on the bed without me. Like she barked a lot when we started to have sex, like when she was a baby.
Yeah.
And then we kind of pushed her out of the room. We gave her like a little pad with, you know, the peanut butter, and she was like, oh, okay, this is awesome. So definitely slowly introducing those types of things, I think, can definitely help you to be still intimate, because we obviously still want to be, you know, intimate and having, you know, that intimacy in our relationships. That's very, very important. I think it might be normal for it to slow down a little bit during the training periods. And I mean, I experienced that. But I definitely think it's important to keep it, you know, keep it spicy, keep it interesting, continue those, you know, don't, I actually think there's a book out there that sometimes pops up on my social media, and it says something like, don't let your dog ruin your sex life or something like that. And I'm like, that is so true. What are some other ways that, you know, dogs really do affect our relationships? Do you have any other
there's all the positive ways that dogs affect our relationships, right? Which is part of why we get dogs, right? You go take your dog for a walk in the park, and you see another person with walking their dog, and then maybe you strike up a conversation. Like, that's a way to, whether it's for friendship or for a romantic relationship or whatever. Dogs are great social facilitators, or they can be. The sort of flip side is, I mean, since we're coming up on the holidays, well, I guess we'll be after the holidays when this airs, dogs can be a huge source of conflict for any sort of family gatherings. It can be really difficult, especially if you have people that have sort of different standards or methods of training, and then you're all brought together in one place, and all of a sudden in your house you have, you know, 8 people and 4 dogs, 2 of whom have never met, and lots of delicious food, and people that are maybe a little tipsy and don't keep the counters clean. Like, that is a recipe for disaster. And so I can go into some like holiday tip management strategies, because the bringing all of the family members and all of the dogs to the holiday gathering, like, we want our dogs to be part of our family. We want our dogs to be part of these celebrations. If your dog is stressed by these situations, or if your dog is happy home alone, it might be nicer to just leave them home alone Like,
Right, so they're
that's,
not so stressed.
yeah, you're allowed to make a decision that's like, yes, I want them to be there because, you know, Thanksgiving is important to my family. I like the food and the camaraderie and the, you know, watching the football game or whatever.
Right.
But your dog doesn't have a special meaning ascribed to the date of Thanksgiving. And they
So
will
true.
be just as happy with the turkey scraps that you bring home. And they might be
Definitely.
less stressed if they're not getting chased around by kids or harassed by, you know, your uncle's dog who doesn't have any training, right?
Yes, so
So,
true.
like thinking about how can we prevent this situation from going badly, that's a huge, you're allowed to leave your dog home. You're allowed to take your dog in the car if they like hanging out in the car, and then you just go out every hour and take him for a walk around the block. That's okay. That's okay.
Right.
Right? So
I
that's,
actually,
yeah, that would be kind of my biggest tip is just think
that's
about
such
what
a
your dog probably wants, and
yeah.
it's okay to make decisions that make you feel like your dog is a little antisocial.
No, I love this, and it made me think of like putting yourself in their shoes, kind of, and being like, you know what would they want? Like, obviously they want to be with me. That's
Yeah,
without a
obviously.
doubt. But you know what? They're gonna be okay at home for a couple hours. Like, we don't need to bring them. So I think that's such good advice. And I think also super weird that you just mentioned the whole holiday thing with the four dogs. I had this exact situation at Thanksgiving. We had my dog, and there was literally three other dogs, and Roxy was the smallest. And so there was two black labs, and one of them was a puppy, and one of them was older. And the older dog would just not stop following Roxy around, like just like hovering over her. And Roxy was nervous. And then of course I start getting nervous because I'm like, oh my God, like he's like growling at her. And I'm like, oh no, like please, like everyone get along. But then during dinner, I literally actually was like, I don't want to be stressed out, even though I still was during the dinner. So I literally took her upstairs and just put her in a room by herself so she could kind of like relax and like
Yeah.
decompress a little bit because I felt so bad. And then I thought to my, I didn't know that those dogs were coming, or else maybe I probably wouldn't have brought her. So
Yeah.
lesson learned on my part, but that's something that also happens is, you know, learning so
Yeah,
many
so
things. I mean, even through like getting her fixed, I learned so much, and I literally was like, nobody prepared me for this. This is the one thing that I was just, I cried when they brought, like when they brought her back to the, I was a disaster. I was like staring at my phone the entire, like I was just so unprepared for this, and I don't know what I expected, but I definitely, and then like the medicine, and it's like you have to get it at the right time. I was very unprepared for this. So I guess my advice for what, like those types of situations is definitely do your research, because I honestly was just like, okay, we get her fixed, whatever,
Yeah.
easy. Nope, wasn't. I mean, it went okay, but I wasn't expecting like all the medicines and the
Oh, yeah.
timing, and you can't have a run. And I was just like, how am I not gonna have my poor puppy run? Like, it was a lot. It was a
Yeah.
lot. It was
It
just
is a
like,
lot. Yeah.
so I like I said, I learned so much through that, and just like really like, and I think that's a great thing too, is you learn about the dog, but you also learn so much about yourself, and
Absolutely.
and they just like love you, and I feel like if I ever cry, she like licks my tears. Like that's something that I'm so fascinated by. So I know that they do, like they really can sense all our emotions, right? And just like, is it true that if like we're stressed or we're sad, like they kind of can feel that energy?
Yeah, so it's both true. So it's true for a lot of reasons. Dogs have evolved for many, many generations, right? Thousands of years. Some people say up to like 40,000 years of evolution to survive based on reading the body language and kind of intentions of people. And so dogs sort of seem like mind readers because that's like one of the most strongly selected survival strategies for dogs, right? And it's only been recently that dogs have sort of been elevated to this pet status rather than like they're eating scraps or doing work or all of those things, right? So that's a huge part of it. Dogs also have I mean, this is not a surprise to anyone. They have a phenomenal sense of smell. It sort of boggles the mind how amazing their smell is. But they can smell the chemicals and the hormones that we're producing if we're stressed or happy or any of these things. And so they are both incredibly observant at watching our body language, way more than a person is. And they can smell literally the chemical signals that we're putting off that kind of clue us into our emotional state. So absolutely, they read off of what you're feeling. Absolutely.
That is, it's so cool. And I want to say that there was a documentary on, I want to say it was Netflix. I think it was just called Dogs or Explained. I don't know. Is that ringing a bell?
Yes, it is. And I'm trying to remember, there were two that came out in the last year, I think.
I learned a lot on that. I was like blown away by just how smart and intelligent they truly are. Like, yes, we know dogs are smart, but like the extent of it is so fascinating to me. It's
absolutely fascinating. I know, I don't remember if this was in the documentary, but one of the things that sort of sticks with me that's just like blows my mind every time I think about it is dogs were trained to lay in an MRI machine.
Yes.
And these dogs can differentiate between happy sounding tone of voice and unhappy sounding tone of voice and good words and bad words. And so these dogs showed so much confusion when you were like, oh, who's a bad boy? You did such a bad job. Like, dogs showed a ton of confusion and stress at that because they can understand that, like, good, bad words, happy tone of voice, what's happening? How do I make this safe for myself? Like, they couldn't. That put them in so much conflict, and just thinking about that is just, it's wild. It's wild.
And I wish every single day that I, like, I talk to my dog all day long. Oh, yeah. Like, I am, and I even do it in public, and I really don't even care at all. Like, same. I, like, when I'm walking her, I just talk to her, and people, I don't know if people think it's weird. I don't think it's weird, but I always am like, when is the day that she's just going to talk back to me?
Oh my like, gosh. I had the funniest thing happen because I also talk to my dog all the time. And I was walking around the other day and he got his leash like stuck up between his hind legs. And I was like, hey, young man, you've got a wedgie. And there happened to be a person walking right in front of me. And he like jumped forward and grabbed his pants and was like, me? I was like, oh my God. I'm talking about my dog. I'm so sorry. I don't even know if you have a wedgie. I was not looking, but my dog had a wedgie.
Oh
my
gosh. Oh, that's great. I just like teared up a little because that's so funny. I can't even imagine. Yeah. I mean, they're comical. And I truly am like, would there ever be a situation where a dog talks? I'm like, could that just be a thing? Hey, we don't know. Maybe.
It's possible.
Maybe technology could figure itself out, and we don't know. Yeah. I think it would be so cool.
I mean, you mentioned before we were talking, I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but you mentioned there's a dog named Bunny that is pretty popular on all sorts of social media who has these talking buttons. And there's actually lots of dogs that have been trained to do this, but I know she's participating in a particular study looking at kind of dog cognition and linguistic abilities, and I don't have any more details on the study other than she's a part of it. But it's really interesting to me because there are some things that are very obviously makes perfect sense that you could train this, right? Dogs, we know dogs do things to get stuff from us. That's all training is, right? They do things to get stuff from us, right? So we say sit, they get a treat. They want a treat, they try sitting, see if that gets them a treat. It's the exact same thing. We have a button that says treat, they press the button that says treat, they get a treat. Like there's no, I absolutely think that dogs can differentiate between all sorts of words like treat and water and outside and anything that is a direct consequence. I have seen these dogs also using the buttons for more abstract things like love or later or like a question sound, you know, there's all of these other things that are more abstract. It certainly seems convincing when I see these videos that these dogs are really understanding what they're saying and what they're asking. They're putting these words together in really interesting and novel ways. I don't have the scientific qualifications to say whether or not they're actually understanding the consequences of these abstract button words,
right.
But it seems convincing to me, and like I'm so excited to see these. There's a whole area of like linguistics and dogs being studied, and I'm so excited to see that research come out because it's so cool. It's so cool.
So cool. And that dog blew my mind when I saw that video. When the dog pressed mom and then it said, I love you, I like melted inside. Because I probably tell my dog at least 25 times a day that love her. And then I think to myself, does she know? Like, because I say it so often, I hope that she knows what, like, maybe, like, can dogs feel love? Like,
I mean, probably. Like, if we break it down into like love is a certain neurochemical state in our brain, right? That's not very like romantic and nice, but like if we think about they have all of the ability, all of the features in their brain and their body to produce that same neurochemical state, right? So we know that they can feel that in the sort of neurochemical sense. Whether or not that translates to the same sort of feeling that we have, we can't really say because you know, as we can't ask them, right?
Right.
We can't ask them. I think anyone who has lived with dogs or worked with dogs or had dogs or met dogs would probably say that obviously dogs feel love. And for me, I guess I don't really think it matters because I feel that they love me.
Yeah.
Right? I feel my dog loves me and I love my dog. And I get the fulfillment out of that relationship.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just believe that they love me, and that's it.
I love that. No, it's so true. I always just wonder, I'm like, does she know what I'm saying? But I also have heard when your dog makes eye contact with you, like for a little bit of a period of time, that means that they're like really connected and like something about like, I don't know, the exact terminology, but they really like feel like some sort of connection. They're really
so it's really interesting because eye contact is one of those do you want to get a little nerdy with me?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So eye contact is one of those behaviors that is really, really different between canids, so all of the dog species, and all of the primates, right? So all primates hug, all primates kind of approach face to face, all primates really gravitate toward making eye contact as sort of a connection and familial gesture. All of the canids, except for possibly dogs, that is a very, very threatening gesture. Eye contact is like, basically, I want to throw down. Like, that's what eye contact means. So if you see dogs, like, they circle each other, they have that kind of sideways-looking movement. That is sort of how dogs interact with each other. It's not always how most dogs interact with people, and especially if you look at, like, dog breeds that were bred for human companionship, they really do, they still have that kind of sideways approaching to other dogs, but they look directly at people. And so I mean, I don't have any good answers for it. Generally, if you are worried about a dog and you think the dog might feel threatened, you don't want to look at them because that's can be threatening. But you have dogs that really gravitate toward looking into your face, and particularly if it's a dog that you know well, that can feel really connected. And I don't know how much of that is just the primate in me feeling connected by the eye contact, and the dog is just being like, you know, hundreds of years of evolution have told me that this is the way to get treats, or right? So, or if the dog actually feels connected and is making those kind of species-specific body language decisions.
Wow, that is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow, I could go off on a tangent on so many things.
Oh
like
my gosh, so many.
I'm curious about if, you know, maybe a dog is getting jealous of, you know, either your partner or, I don't know, like Roxy will get in between us every time we kiss. And I'm like, Is that a jealousy thing, or is that like a she wants to be involved? Like, do you happen to know about that?
So it probably depends on the dog. I know that's the worst answer, like the it
Right.
depends answer. Some dogs, when they do that, it's a kind of behavior that is like, please come back and pay attention to me. I feel left out. And I just sort of put this in the bucket of like FOMO behaviors, right? So
Yes.
we've got fear of missing out behaviors that kind of appear all over the place. Some dogs,
Yes.
there is kind of a jealousy and possessiveness. And almost always that jealousy and possessiveness comes from some sort of fear or insecurity about the relationship. And this goes back to attachment theory. And I haven't really done a ton of research into attachment theory, but there are actually dog trainers that are doing some really interesting work looking at applying attachment theory to dog-human relationships. And
Interesting.
it is very applicable. That relationship is very applicable to looking at these kind of attachment theory and concerns. And you have a dog that is worried that they are going to lose that attachment with their human, they will see everything as a threat to their relationship and then try and interfere because they want to keep that relationship. And so when you see that, what you see is probably a dog that is concerned about the state of their relationship with their person, which as a person, you don't want to hear that because like you love your
No,
dog, right? And so that's a really difficult thing to hear and then try and fix because you're like, of course I love this dog. I don't know how else to explain it. And because you can't just explain to your dog like I'm not leaving, right? Like you are my dog. It can be really difficult. There are ways to build that trust, but also just like in people, some dogs are prone to kind of an insecure attachment style. Some dogs are really prone to a secure attachment style. Some dogs, are prone to kind of a distant attachment style. And so some of it is the dog's experience, the dog's learned history before you got them or while you've had them. And some of it is just like the dog has these predispositions. And you work with the dog that you've met as an individual.
Interesting. That is very interesting. I know. I always wondered, I'm like, does she just get jealous? It could be the FOMO though, because I think like she'll like jump from like the other couch if like we're on the other couch, like across the room, and she'll like get all up in there. And she's wagging her tail, so I'm like, I think she's happy. But I'm like, she gets up in there.
So the wagging the tail is it's sort of like a smile with people, right? So sometimes you smile because you're happy, and sometimes you smile because you want the creepy guy looking at you to go away. And sometimes you smile because it's just the kind of polite thing to do to get you out of a situation. So wagging the tail doesn't always mean they're happy.
Good to know.
But it sounds like she's got the FOMO, and if I were going to give a recommendation, I would say that what I would do is I would figure out exactly is it right when you start to kiss that she comes over? Is it when you start to look at each other like you're gonna kiss? Like, where is the point where she's like, now I have to intervene? And then go just to that point and throw a treat across the room. Just to that point, throw a treat across the room so that what she starts to associate with is that's the point that I go away from you.
Interesting. Wow. Oh, I love that tip. That is a good one. Then I have some like random questions that are
Oh,
like
yeah, for
super
sure.
off topic, if you don't mind.
Not at all.
What is one of your favorite dog names that you've ever heard? That's probably such a hard question.
That is such a
I'll
hard
tell you
question.
mine first too, if that maybe helps you
Sure.
think. I met this dog named Waffles, and I thought it was the cutest name.
That's amazing.
Thought it
That's
was so cute.
amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this might be kind of a controversial opinion.
Hey,
I
I don't
sort of
care.
like human names for dogs, but it has to be particular dogs. So like
Okay.
there's my friend has a corgi who's named Frank. And that is just perfect, right? A corgi named
Perfect.
Frank, perfection,
Yeah.
right? I love food names, right? So waffles, amazing. I met a dog named Beans. Love that name.
Oh,
Right?
that's so
And then
cute.
if you want something that's like a little bit less quirky and still food themed, I like the name Truffle. Truffle is really
Oh,
cute,
that is
right?
really cute. That's
And it
cute.
could apply to
Oh.
lots of different dogs could have the name Truffle. So
Totally.
food and human names are kind of my love those.
I love. And what are your do you have one dog or two?
So I have one dog and two cats. So my dog's name is Jed.
I love
Sort
that.
of as a ploy to get a dog, my partner is a huge Grateful Dead fan. And I was joking, like, well, we could name our new puppy that we're definitely getting after a Grateful Dead song. And then it became sort of an inside joke. And so he's named after the song Tennessee Jed.
Oh, that makes sense. That's so
So
cute.
that's good. And then our cats are named after, one cat is my partner's and he's named Scotty. Not sure why. And then my
So
cat
sweet.
is named after Minerva McGonagall. Her name is Minnie.
Cute. Wow, I love that. Let's see. What would you say are like the top things that make dogs happy, like besides like people and treats and food?
Okay, definitely. Okay, so I think, ooh, this is such a good question because, like all of these questions, dogs are individuals, so it depends. But I think
True.
that the biggest thing that make dogs happy that we sort of overlook in our sort of culture around dogs is the ability to make choices for themselves. So I try to build in a lot of agency into my dog training because giving dogs the ability to make choices for themselves helps them to feel really confident that they have the skills to make the right choice. So, for example, I feed Jed, he gets like little chews, so he's got cow's ears and pig's ears and bully sticks and different chews that he can have, and he gets one every evening when we sort of settle down to watch TV. And I usually pick three out of the basket and I present them to him, and he very carefully like sniffs each one, and then he puts each one kind of in his teeth, and then he picks the one that he wants, and he goes down to lay and chew it. So like he gets to choose which one he has, and that's you can do that with any dog because you present the options, they're gonna learn, oh, there's not a wrong answer. I can just pick what I want. Right? If you have a dog that sometimes you walk on a harness and sometimes you walk on a collar, you can sort of present your harness and your collar and ask your dog, "What do you want to be walked on today?" Right? So giving our dogs the ability to make choices, I think is one of the biggest things we can do to help them have a really happy life.
Wow, that is, I'm gonna start doing that with Roxy. Like, give her, like, have a few options of treats and see which one she likes or wants that day. I love that. That is so good.
It's
So
so
good.
much fun. And seeing like the look on their face when they're like, "Oh, I just get to choose. There's no wrong answer, right? There's not one answer that gets me a treat and one answer that doesn't. I just get to pick what I want." It's amazing. I love it.
That's such a good tip. All right, so we have some listener questions that I would love to get into.
Exciting.
So the first one is, my dog licks everything. Advice on how to get him to stop licking everything. He licks the floors just excessively.
That is, first of all, to this listener, I'm so sorry you're going through this because this is really frustrating. And it's probably also really frustrating for your dog because this is what I would sort of put into the bucket of compulsive or repetitive behaviors. And just like people that have compulsive or repetitive behaviors, it's not really very fun for anyone involved. It's not fun for the dog, it's not fun for the person. And so there are dogs, like I talked about my dog that I that's living with my mom in Oregon right now, that do actually have like obsessive compulsive disorder. It's pretty rare. Usually when we see this happening, it's because there's something missing in the dog's life. And it can be something that like you don't even know your dog needs, right? Every dog has different needs, and so it might be that your dog actually needs more opportunities to tear things up. And so for my dog, I present every time I get like an Amazon box or a Chewy box or whatever, or like Christmas is coming around, so Christmas presents get wrapped in boxes, he gets like crumpled up newspaper and junk mail and stuff and treats in the box, and then he just gets to destroy it, right? And so this is something that dogs love to do, and they don't get a lot of appropriate outlets for destroying things, because instead they destroy your shoes or they chew on the cabinet or whatever. Your dog might actually really just like to lick things off of a treat pad. So there's these things called licky mats that are just like a textured silicone or plastic mat that you can smear peanut butter on, or you can like freeze yogurt and blueberries on it. So what I would do in this situation, which is really, it's such a shitty situation for you to be in because it's really frustrating and difficult, I would try giving some of these enrichment opportunities for a couple weeks. And I would be tracking, like, how much time is he actually licking? And if that time is going down, then you know what you're doing is working. And you're trying, and you can increase it or you can change it or whatever. If that time isn't going down, for compulsive behaviors, I would go straight to a veterinary behaviorist. And veterinary behaviorists are like psychiatrists for dogs. They have their doctorate in veterinary medicine. They have postdoctoral expertise in behavioral wellness, and they can be kind of difficult to get into because I think there's only about 30 in the country. But but for these compulsive behaviors, it's such a huge quality of life issue that I would be going for a veterinary behaviorist.
Wow, that's great advice. The next one is, can you train a dog at any age? Like that saying, can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah. So I love this. I love this question because I said this earlier, learning is always happening, right? But there are also different stages of life. Just like people have developmental stages, dogs also have developmental stages. So the basic answer, the non-long answer, yes. You can always train a dog. The slightly more complicated answer is that they will learn different things easier or more difficultly at different ages. And so if you're in that puppy phase, they might not have the cognitive ability to do kind of process reasoning. So like you can't teach them kind of a long multi-step trick. As a young dog, they might be really motivated to learn things because treats might be really important to them, toys might be really important to them, right? And as they get older, there are dogs that go through cognitive decline or canine dementia. And so if they're getting older, they may have some cognitive deficits that make other tricks more difficult. And they also might not care about food as much. They might not be as motivated to learn things. So basic answer, yes. Long answer, almost always, but some things might be a little more difficult.
No, that totally actually makes sense. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
The next one is, how to train my dog to be off leash without running away?
Oh my gosh, these are such good questions. I love them. Because if you want your dog to be off leash, this makes me think that you're already really, you care about your dog being able to make choices in their environment and sniff around and do these kind of really enriching doggy things like peeing on trees and sniffing the leaves and watching the birds. And you really care about the safety aspect because they can't be running off because there are roads and cars and other dogs. And if they're a small dog, then maybe wildlife is a threat to them. So this question is maybe my all-time favorite question because it wraps into like, oh, you care about your dog, you want the best for your dog, you care about the safety. There isn't an easy answer, but you can do it. And if you're struggling with it, it's because it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. And for some dogs, it's easier than others, but it's not an easy thing to train. And so if you're struggling with it, I don't want you to feel frustrated or guilty or helpless. So think about something that you don't like to do, but you still do it anyway, right? So for me, it's the dishes. I don't like doing the dishes, but I do it because I want clean plates to eat off of. If I've had a really frustrating day where I've had to run a bunch of errands and I stood in a bunch of lines and I don't like standing in lines and I just come home and I've got a headache and I want to eat ice cream and I want to choose my ice cream flavor and sit on the couch, that's what I do to like make myself feel better. Yeah. And some days dogs are going to have those days. They're going to be like, I just want to stick my nose in this pile of leaves and sniff things, and I don't want to come back and do the dishes, which is, or recall back to you, right? So what we want to do is build this really long history of our dogs getting great stuff from us, right? They get really great treats. They get play. They get tugging with their favorite toy. They get a fun game of, like, hide and seek, right? So if you build this long history of our dogs knowing that if they come when called, you're not going to put them in the bath. You're not going to take them to the vet. So it's two things. You always, always, always reward your dog when they come, even if they did it slowly, even if they stopped halfway through, got distracted, and you had to call them again, even if, you know, you didn't want them to run off in the first place and they pulled the leash out of your hand, you always reward them when they come back. And the other piece is you don't want to, every time they come back, put their leash on and end their freedom. Because, again, their freedom to choose and that agency piece that I talked about earlier is important because they like to make decisions about their life. And so you want them to have good things that come from you when they come back. And you want them to practice coming back, and it doesn't always mean their leash is going on.
Wow. That is such good advice and good insight. Like, on, I'm just thinking, my mind is kind of going crazy. Now, would you ever suggest, like, perhaps maybe like an enclosed area letting, like, say, like a, I don't know, like a park or like a football field or something, like perhaps like making that, like, slowly introducing them to that and then kind of like bigger areas. Is that like a good way to do it as well?
So there's lots of good ways to do that. That's one of my favorite. And there's actually, there's an app called Sniff Spot that lets you rent off, like, if you don't have a yard, you can rent other people's yards.
That's
so cool. I love that. The other thing I love using is a long line, and you can get a long line for, it's just a leash that's really long. And I have a 40-foot line for my dog that I use to help him learn recall. And they sort of just drag it around behind them. And if you have a dog that you're not worried about them actually running away, if they just, like, don't come back when you call, but they kind of stick close to you, then having a long line is great, because then if something happens and there's a safety concern, you can just step on the line, right? You can reel them back in.
Yes.
And the same thing with being in a fenced-in area. The consequences are lower if they don't come, right? So those are both ways that I help people with the recall and how I train my own recall and my dogs.
That is so cool. The next one is, my dog was harassed by kids and is now anxious and really barky around them. Can this improve when she has a baby?
Oh my gosh. This is so common because kids do the primate thing of staring at dogs, and they're also loud and unpredictable. And so lots of dogs are worried about kids. So the short answer is probably, but there's always that safety concern, right? If you have, I'm gonna, full disclosure, kids and dogs are not my specialty. And I don't take training clients that have concerns about, like, I'm gonna have a kid, my dog is scared of kids, please help. I send those to the trainers that are specialized in this field. And for this person, the person that I would point you to is Pooch Parenting, and the trainer is named Michelle Stern. She is wonderful at doing this, but safety first, right? So you want to make sure that it's safe. Behavior change is hard, and so if you can't feel like you trust your dog around kids, you always want to put these management places, things in place. So baby gates, muzzles, always having supervision. The good news is that lots of these things can be changed, right? So behavior is always changing, our dogs are always learning, and so if you think you're going to have a child, I would not wait to do the training, because this is hard and it takes a long time. And if you're pregnant, I would think that you probably don't want to spend a lot of time training your dog if you can do it beforehand. So I think having at least 18 months before you bring a new baby into the home is when you should start training. But if you have more time, go for more time. And for kids and dogs, because of the risk, you know, kids are the most frequent people that get bitten by dogs.
Yes.
Because of the risk, everyone who's having a baby who has a dog that has any feelings about kids at all should be working with a professional trainer who specializes in kids and dogs.
Beautiful. Beautifully, beautifully said. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Dog parks, yay or nay?
Ooh, a controversial topic. And I know a little bit of a hot take on this.
Okay, I'd love to hear it.
Lots of trainers are like, absolutely not, never, ever, ever, you should never do a dog park. I think of dogs who like dog parks as people who like to go to clubs, right? There are people that love going clubbing. I'm not one of them. I'm kind of a library kind of gal. I love a library, right? I don't want people to talk to me that much. So I would not be a dog that would go to a dog park. But when I was 22, I might have been able to, you know, I enjoyed going to a club once in a while. So it's stage of life and it's personality. The thing that I would make sure is there are good dog parks and then there are less good dog parks. And so if you're going to a dog park, the things you want to look for are, is there interesting stuff for the dog to do that isn't the other dogs? So are there trees to sniff? Are there bushes to go around? Are there leaves and squirrels to look at? Is it a big space so that the dogs can get some distance from each other? So that would be like thing number one. Thing number two is I would never go when there were more than about, okay, my farm girl is coming out here. I would never go if there were more than about five dogs per acre. So if you think about like a football field sized dog park, I wouldn't go if there were more than about five dogs in that area. So you want a really big space with not a huge density of dogs. And I would also go and I would watch before I brought my dogs there to make sure that people aren't bringing reactive or aggressive dogs. So there are people that think that their dog, because their dog growls or bites at dogs, the dog needs to go just learn how to be a dog at a dog park. And that's kind of scary. So,
100%.
And then I guess the last point is, and I don't have small dogs. If I had small dogs, I wouldn't do dog parks because the size difference makes for more danger, right? So it's all about balancing risk. If you don't have another way to get your dog off leash time, go to dog parks. Go to dog parks that aren't busy. Try to find the best dog parks you can. And I think that having off-leash time is so, so valuable and more valuable than avoiding dog parks at all cost. So that's kind of my nuanced hot take that might get me roasted in the training community.
No, I mean, I'm with you on a lot of that. Like I've only brought Roxy to a few dog parks, and I will only go to them if they have a small dog
area
section.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like she gets nervous around big dogs sometimes, and I'm like, I don't want her to feel uncomfortable, so I do the small ones. But I have a fun little thing. There is an app. It is called, I was just pulling it up because I couldn't remember the name of it. It is called Dog Pack, PACK. And it actually has all the dog parks in, you know, your area, and it kind of, you can like check in, so you can say, okay, my dog and me are going to be here at 11 o'clock on Saturday, and then you can kind of see other dogs that are also going to be there that are checking in.
Nice.
So I think it's really clever, and I think it has like a little bit more details on like, you know,
that
said
is
dog
really
park
dog
but I thought that was so fun. When I found that, I think I found it on like a Facebook group that someone, it's kind of a newer app, so I'm sure there's not like, I think it's slowly kind of rolling out, but I thought that was super cool little tidbit. But yeah, dog parks, I will only go if they have a small dog section. And another thing, during the summer, the one that I sometimes will go to, they had a little kiddie pool. And at first Roxy was like, she's like, I don't know about that. Like, she was like sniffing around it. And then all of a sudden, like, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to put her in it and see what she, because it wasn't filled that like much. It was like probably to her ankles.
Yeah.
I don't even know if, I don't know, her paws. I don't know what you, what, it was not, it was like a couple inches.
Yeah.
And she, first it was like, oh, I don't like this. And then all of a sudden she started like digging in the water, and she She wouldn't get out of it. I
What a
couldn't get her out
boss.
of it. It
Oh.
was so funny. It was so cute. So
That's
yeah,
wonderful.
definitely love, she loved that. The next question is, can dogs be ticklish?
Okay. When you so you sent me this question and I went on a little bit of a deep dive to figure out if I could learn anything about being ticklish.
Okay.
I would assume they can be. I can't find anything online that tells me that they're not. I
Okay.
also couldn't really find anything online that is like, why is tickling fun for humans? Like, we're not really sure if it is. And so, like, I don't know if dogs are ticklish and they hate it or ticklish and like it. Probably comes down to individual preference, right? So, like,
Right.
just like some people like it and some
Interesting.
people hate it. It's probably the same for our dogs. I would guess they're probably ticklish. Like,
Interesting.
but I don't know what parts of them would be ticklish. I don't think their armpits would be ticklish. I think their paw pads might be ticklish.
Oh, that's
I
because
don't
you're probably
know.
sensitive.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Interesting.
Maybe we should
Okay.
run a little study with your listeners. Everyone try
Yeah,
to picture their
totally.
dogs, see if they're ticklish.
I love that. I love it. And then the last question is, my dogs, she has two dogs, they never settle down. They're always playing rough housing. Any advice on how they can, she can kind of train them to like take a chill pill?
Yes. So absolutely, this is like right up my alley. I love working with these kind of hyperactive dogs. Relaxation is a thing that comes very naturally to some dogs and not naturally to other dogs. And so for dogs that it doesn't come naturally to, we have to teach relaxation. And then, so that's one part of it. But the other part, it sounds like they're playing with each other a lot and they're always roughhousing. So I would probably think about ways to give these dogs more independent time away from each other so that they have a chance to relax and decompress away from each other. And this can be as simple as getting out like an X pen or a baby gate or something, and just like each dog gets something that they can chew on either side of the gate. And like they're not, it's not a punishment, but it's
Right.
just so that the dogs can do kind of a parallel play sort of thing. And then that station training that I talked about way earlier, where you teach your dog to go to their spot and their job is to kind of stay on their spot. I love this for multi-dog households because you can just have two stations right next to each other and you can just feed your dogs on their stations. And it gets them to understand that when they're in a room with each other, there's a lot of different things they can do. They can play, right? They can play really rough and tumble. They can play really gently just by sort of like looking at each other and moving their paws around. They can chew on things. They can lay on their spot. They can interact with their human. They can nap. And so it sounds like these dogs only think that when they're together, this is the only thing they can do. And what I would want to do is teach them that when they're together, they can do lots of different things.
Wow. That's probably like you're just making so much sense, but it's like the normal human like me like doesn't
It's,
think like that, but it
you
makes
know,
sense.
it's
Like,
funny
I
because,
love it.
yeah, dog training is not, dog training is simple, but it's not easy.
Right.
Right?
I totally
Right?
get what you're saying. It's
So,
so interesting. It's
yeah.
so interesting.
Oh.
Well, first of all, I just have to say I absolutely loved your tips. Your mind is beautiful. I
Thank
love just
you.
all the things. So I would love to play a game with you just to, get to know you a little bit more.
Great, I'm excited.
So the first one is, are you a night owl or early riser?
I am a night owl naturally. My dog is an early riser, and because we live in North Carolina where it's hot in the summer, I've become an early riser so that we can go for hikes in the morning before it's hot.
Oh, I love that. I love that. The next one is pasta or pizza?
Ooh. Pasta.
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 Love. Waffle fries or curly fries?
Ooh, definitely curly fries. I feel like curly fries, you get more flavor.
Yes,
Yeah.
love. I think this one might be obvious, but would you rather have the ability to talk to animals or the ability to control weather?
Ooh. I think that it is talk to animals, but it's actually closer than you might think.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Would you rather live by the ocean or live by like mountains or in mountains? In mountains.
The mountains. The mountains.
Mountains.
Yeah.
Love. Would you rather give up all technology or give up movies, books, and TV?
Ooh.
It's a really hard one.
If I'm giving up all technology, does that include like books and stuff, or is it just like
I guess
technology we're just talking about, like electronics?
yes, yep.
Does that include cars?
No.
Okay, I think I would give up technology.
Love.
Give up
That's fair.
technology. Oof, that's a tough one though.
I know. I don't even know which one I would choose, but I love asking people because everyone thinks about it differently. So
Yeah.
it's fun. Would you rather create a new language or create a new holiday?
A new holiday, I think.
Love.
Yeah.
Would you rather have eyes that film everything or ears that record everything?
Oh, ears that record everything. Absolutely. Ears that record everything. I'm a
Nice.
music person, please.
Oh, love. Yep.
Yeah.
Online shopping or in-person shopping? If you had to do one for the rest of your life.
This might be controversial, but I think in person, I get
Oh,
overwhelmed
love.
by online choices.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's
It's a lot.
agree. Would you rather have 7 dogs or never have a pet again?
Oh, 7 dogs. I'm pretty sure I'm already gonna have 7 dogs someday in my life. Like, that's not even a bad thing.
So how many do you think you would have total at one time? Just
At
out of
one
curiosity.
time, it depends on the situation that I'm living in. So my house right now, I love my house. It's small and doesn't have good places to kind of divide into spaces. So management
Gotcha.
with lots of dogs would be hard. So in this house, probably 3.
Okay.
If I had my dream house, I would probably do, actually 7 would be nice because I could have kind of get one every 2 years. We'd be in all sorts of stages of training. I do dog sports, so like I could be, this dog would be like my starter agility dog, and this dog is like competing at the master's level, and this dog's competing at the
Mom,
international level. Like that would be my dream.
that would be super cool. I love that. Would you rather be sticky for the rest of your life or be itchy for the rest of your life? This is a very weird
Ah,
question.
awful. Ooh. I think itchy because sticky would come with itchy for me.
Oh, that's fair. That's totally
So,
fair.
yeah, so I think itchy.
Would you rather wear ball gowns every single day for the rest of your life or wear swimwear every single day for the rest of your life?
Swimwear, for sure. Swimwear,
Love.
absolutely.
And then the last one is sunrise or sunset.
Sunrise.
Sunrise.
Sunrise, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, this was
Fun.
such a treat. I can't thank you enough for giving all the wonderful advice and
Absolutely.
answering all my silly questions too, and just bring your wonderful perspective to My Naked Mindset podcast. Please let everyone know where they can connect with you.
Yeah, so I've had such a fun time being here. So I just recently started a Patreon, which is going to be really cool. We'll have monthly live Q&As, so if you want more questions answered, come find me on my Patreon. You can find me on my website, which is stsdogs.com, and I'm sure that that'll go in the show notes. I've got a bunch of resources there. I am also on Facebook. I don't do a lot of things on Facebook because I am pretty outspoken about my feminist and anti-racist views, and so I sometimes get put in Facebook jail. So I don't do a lot on Facebook, but you can find me there, and that'll take you to my website where you get my real stuff. So find me on Facebook and Patreon.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for being here. It was such a pleasure speaking with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. This was so much fun. I'm so happy that I was able to speak with you. This was really fun.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Definitely be sure to check out some other episodes. I have something for everyone, that's for sure. You know where to connect with me at My Naked Mindset on all of your social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and also be sure to check out my website. I have some really cute merch. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Bye!